There are lots of places in the Australian bush where the track, the bushwalking path, will kind of lead between, like a crack between the rocks, and you know that there's only one way to get through it, and that's to go through that gap in the rocks. And sometimes, you know, it's quite narrow, and you know, I'm not a little fella, and so I often have to, you know, kind of shed things to get through some of these cracks. So, you know, if you're carrying a backpack, you need to kind of take that off, you need to suck in the gut and kind of breathe in and make yourself as thin as possible so you can kind of slide your way through this gap in the rock. But, you know, often it leads to a beautiful beautiful view or whatever. Like down on the south coast, there's a place called Gosong's Tunnel out on the Beecroft Peninsula, and it's this big rocky kind of outcrop and this little kind of cave that gets through. And again, it's not so much thinning yourself, but again, being tall, I have to kind of get down on my hands and knees, you know, again, remove all of the extra stuff that I'm carrying in order to get through. And then you get through the other side and it opens up to this, you know, beautiful view over the ocean. And life is like that. You know, sometimes we've just picked up this baggage, we're carrying these things that we sometimes just need to let go of. We need to put them down in order to make our way into the wonders of what God has prepared for us. And so as Jesus is making his way, again, Luke reminds us, you know, from Luke 9:51 to 19:41, we are given this long journey, this pilgrimage that Jesus and the disciples are on, making their way to Jerusalem and to all that Jerusalem entails. And it's here in this part of the gospel that Jesus teaches most about discipleship, about what it is to follow him, about what we need to do to be free to serve him and to love him more fully. And someone in the crowd just calls out this question: so will there be many who will be saved? And note, even though we'd love for Jesus to answer that question, like so many of the questions that Jesus is asked across the course of the Gospels, and someone has counted, there's 183 different questions that Jesus is asked. But there's only a few that he directly answers, and this certainly isn't one of them. He doesn't give a direct answer to this question. He does give this encouragement. You know, try your best, the Jerusalem says. It's not a great translation. The Greek here is agonisosthai. We get the word agonize. You know, we get that sense of really striving, doing all that we can to enter through the narrow door. It's not a works righteousness. It's not about doing all the things that we can do. It's just getting out of the way of God's grace and God's goodness, that God wants to do this. We heard that so strongly in our first reading today. You know, Isaiah's vision, we're at the very end of the final section of this wonderful 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah. And here at the end, when the people have already been taken into exile, all of the things that he prophesied about in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, all of that has come to pass. And he's now in this final section, calling them into freedom, calling them into God's great vision. And we know that that was God's original purpose for people, that he did want to bless all of the nations. You know, when Abraham was called back in Genesis 12, one of the things that he was called to do, to be, was that you will become a blessing for all of the nations, all of the communities, all of the peoples, that God's vision, God's heart is so extraordinarily wide. And yet to fit ourselves within that, sometimes we need to shed anything that gets in the way of that. His vision, his desire, his longing is broad. But for us, there's only one way to enter into that, and that's to become like him. Remember in the Gospel of John, when Jesus uses the image of being the Good Shepherd, calling us into freedom, calling us into life. And one of the images that he uses there in that passage is to say that I am the gate of the sheepfold. The only way that we can enter through the narrow gate is to become like Jesus. If he is the gate, if he is the entry point, then the way is narrow because we need to become like Jesus. We need to get rid of the things that prevent us from being like him, to love him more fully and more completely and more truthfully. And we're told about how to do that in our second reading today from Hebrews, that we need to be disciplined, that we need to let go of those habits, those things that we have added to our lives that just don't serve us so well anymore. And that as any parent wants their child to be the very best that they can be. And so they will give these disciplines, they will correct them, they will offer those challenges to them in order that they will be able to experience the love and the fruitfulness more completely and more fully, well, at least in that ideal kind of world. Sometimes our parents didn't quite get all of that process the way that they intended to do. But this freedom that we need to find is in letting go of those things, surrendering the backpack, letting go of those habits, letting go of those relationships, letting go of those resentments that we hold on to, letting go of those old judgments and those old prejudices that we have shaped and formed us over the years that don't make us more like Jesus. The call today is to kind of really ponder, what are the things that I've put into my backpack that I need to surrender? What do I need to let go of in order to be more like Jesus? If I'm to enter in through the narrow door, how do I do that? If I'm to strive, if I'm to really battle for this, what would that be in my life? What would that look like? The challenge I put before us today is just to take a few minutes today, just to really sit in the presence of the Lord, just to let him love you, to let him sustain you, to let him really see you for all of your glory, all the ways that he's created you to be good, to be faithful, to be fruitful. What are the things in our lives that aren't participating in that, that we're not able to serve the Lord well? What are the areas that today the Lord might challenge me? Let that go aside. Just leave that on the floor of the cave so that we can walk through and crawl through and make our way to strive into the glory that he has prepared for us. What can we shed today so that the Lord is able just to love us more completely and more faithfully, so that we can fruitfully become part of that people, people from north and south, east and west, who gather at the feast day of the Lord. Let's allow the Lord to shed those things in us so that we can enter into the glory of the kingdom of God and share that with those around us.